We're in the midst of our Lenten study and sermon series, We Are and We Will Be, as we journey not just toward the cross, but toward resurrection that comes after the cross. We have learned from Peter that God calls us to be more than we are. We've represented that with our rough cross that will become a living, flowered, beautiful cross on Easter Sunday. We talked last week about being born. We are born, and we are born again. And this week, interestingly enough, on the schedule, which I made way back in February, we are worried, and we will be at peace. The Spirit has a funny way of working sometimes, I think, when we are in a time of worry for many people. So we've just heard from Brennan part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I wonder, though, if it might have gone something more like this if he was preaching that to us today.
You cannot serve God and wealth.
Well, why not?
Because no one can serve two masters. A slave will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other.
I don't know if I agree with that or not. It seems overstated.
Do not worry about your life, what you will eat and what you will drink, or about your body and what you will wear.
Seriously? Isn't your advice a little naive, Jesus? I do need to plan ahead, know where my next meal is coming from, and make sure my family has clothes.
Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing?
Well, yes, when you put it that way,
Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
Well, yes, but...
Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life?
No, I guess not.
And then why worry about clothing?
Well, because I need to be appropriately dressed for various occasions, and at least try to be somewhat up to date.
Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like one of these.
Why do you keep making all these nature analogies? I'm not a bird, and I'm not a flower, I'm a person.
If God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?
It would be nice to think so, but don't you think worry serves a useful function sometimes?
Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, or what will we wear?
All right. I get that you're not going to budge on the worry issue, but tell me this. What am I to do with all that mental free time I used to spend worrying?
Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given unto you.
Six times in these verses, Jesus says, do not worry. But we still worry. I worked on this sermon early last week and had it fairly well finished fairly early in the week. Finished it on, I think, Wednesday, and then spent most of the night tossing and turning, worrying about making the right decisions about the kids' academy, about worship, about the worrying about my parents and are they staying safe. And I am not by nature a worrier at all. Worry sometimes comes to us. Jesus says not to do it. We do it anyway. We do it partially because we're part of an anxious culture, right? Media expounds on political and economic and viral fears. We're constantly bombarded by information, some of it true, some of it false, all of it adding to the worries we might already have been feeling. We turn on the news or we reach for our phones or the newspaper as soon as we wake up. So our days begin with anxiety and go from there. Sometimes we're anxious because in our minds and our hearts, we operate from a place of scarcity. We think that there isn't enough, thus the current toilet paper scarcity going on around our country. when really we have an abundance. And this isn't just about financial and physical things. We sometimes live as if there isn't enough love, time, attention. We worry about getting enough of those things for ourselves. If we invite them to join us, what if they take my place in our circle of friends? And we worry about not having enough of those things to share ourselves. I haven't spent enough time with my kids, and I really need to clean my house, and oh, I meant to check on my friend who is sick. When we move through life focused on what we don't have enough of, it makes us selfish and anxious. Sometimes it's change that makes us worry, transitions. When something in life changes, whether it's a large change or even a small one, if we can't predict what will happen next, we lose all sense of control, and that is really worrisome for some of us. In our personal lives, as a church, as a society. The people of Jesus' day had legitimate reasons for concern, too. They were an oppressed people, ruled by Romans who cared nothing for them, their religious beliefs, their personal well-being. And yet Jesus said to them and said to us, "Do not worry." And yet we worry, even when we know it doesn't benefit us, because truly, what does worrying do for us? It keeps us focused ahead. It prevents us from seeing what's right in front of us. Maybe this is why Jesus said, "Look around at the birds and the flowers that are right there in front of you." This is why Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread, not our monthly grocery list. Nobody makes their lives longer by worrying. In fact, we do the opposite. Study after study show that negative effects, the life-shortening effects that stress and worry have on us physically and mentally and emotionally. Jesus told us that same thing thousands of years before modern medicine. "Who can add one moment to their lives by worrying?" he asked. So how do we stop worrying? I want to begin by acknowledging that for many people, anxiety is a chemical reaction. And I don't want to downplay that. Part of how God provides for us is by providing medicine and therapists to help us manage anxiety. But for many of us, worry is less of a physical reality and more of an emotional and spiritual one. This isn't a flippant, "don't worry, be happy" kind of sermon. I think that's shallow. Bad things do happen. They're happening right now in a way that we haven't experienced before. And ignoring things doesn't make them go away. But faith that God will give us what we need in the moment when we need it can make anxiety over those things go away. Frederick Buechner says it this way: "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Nothing can ever separate us. It is for you I created the universe. I love you." Either God is in charge or we are. And I, for one, as much as I like to be in control, am really glad that my life and the life of others isn't dependent solely on my strength and control. So, how do we stop worrying? Jesus gives us some wise words about that here. First, we look for the good. If much of our anxiety is based on scarcity, then we need practices that remind us that God operates out of abundance, right? God provides all our needs. God is good. All will be well because our Creator loves us and cares for us. And I know that this isn't always easy. In the midst of an anxious situation, to look for the good isn't always our first reaction. But it can happen with practice. It takes a slow turning from worry of the moment to intentionally stopping when we feel that anxiety and finding something to give thanks for. Mr. Rogers taught us to look for the helpers, right? Have you seen that quote from him? When something is going terribly wrong, look for the helpers. That's one way of looking for the good. Who is doing something to help in the midst of crisis? We've seen that, examples of that, even in the midst of the coronavirus pandemic around the world. Neighbors who are looking out for neighbors. On that Nextdoor app, which is a social media neighborhood kind of thing that lets people stay in touch, I've seen multiple people posting to say, if you need anything, please let me know. In fact, someone even made a form that people could fill out, and now there's this place where others can click if they need help to see where they can find it. All on their own time. I saw a beautiful video this week. The picture wasn't beautiful because it was a deserted street in Italy. Really narrow street, tall buildings, nobody there. There's a dog that you hear barking. And then someone begins to sing. It was in Italian. I don't know what they were singing. He begins to sing. And then you hear another voice join. And another voice join. And another voice join. And in the midst of this quarantine where no one is allowed out of their homes, they have opened their windows and they're singing to each other. It was the most beautiful thing. I actually cried as I listened to it because it was such a joyful, beautiful moment. When we worry, we need to look for the good. One way that we can do this is rather than starting the day with noise, begin with silence and prayer. For some of us, the first thing we do in the mornings is reach for our phone or turn on the TV for the news. Not the best way to start a day in an unanxious manner, especially not right now, but really anytime. If we begin our day in silence and prayer, we start the day in a different mind frame, looking for the good. We can practice and examine each night. This is another ancient spiritual practice. So you think about when you have been most grateful during the day, as well as times when you were worried. Talk about those times with God, giving thanks for good gifts, asking for help to move from anxiety to peace. One of the benefits of doing that each night is you begin to spend your day looking for the moments of gratitude that you're going to be thanking God for. Changes our mindset, makes us look for the good. I've talked before about how keeping a gratitude journal can help us look for the good in the same way. If every night you have to write down three different things that you are grateful for and you can't repeat ones from days before, you have to really pay attention to the good things God is doing in your life. Look for the good. I think another way that we can stop worrying is to look to creation. Look to nature. I don't think Jesus used birds and flowers by accident. Even for folks like me who aren't particularly outdoorsy, there's something soothing about being in God's creation, even if we enjoy it from a screened-in porch with a book and a cup of hot tea. In The Peace of Wild Things, Wendell Berry echoes the words of Jesus about the worries of life. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water. And I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting for with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world, and I am free. When you begin to worry, get outside for a bit. Take deep breaths. Look at God's creation. And remember that if God cares for it, you are even more loved. Another way that we can stop worrying, that we can move to being peace-filled, is to look out for others. I realize that it can sound really privileged to say not to worry about what to eat or wear when the world, when our own neighborhood, is full of people who spend most of each day worrying about those things for survival's sake. The reality is, though, that God has provided enough for everyone and has trusted us to share. We must do our part in looking out for others. When Jesus says all these things will be added to us if we seek God's kingdom first, all those things are enough for everyone, but only if each of us truly seeks God's kingdom first. Something pretty amazing happens when we're so focused on our relationship with God and on bringing about God's kingdom here on earth by loving others well. We have less time and less mental space and energy to give to anxiety. This current epidemic gives us a chance to look out for others, for our neighbors and church members who need someone to shop for them, for people who are feeling lonely and isolated without physical touch. We'll make decisions not out of selfishness, but out of care for the common good, particularly the good of the most vulnerable around us all. We can look for ways to share what we have rather than hoarding it in our houses. We remember who we are, right? We're people of mercy and grace, love and peace, even in these anxious times. So how do we begin to move from anxiety to peace? We look for the good. We look to creation. And we look out for others. And most importantly, we look to God. The Message translation of the last verses of this passage puts it this way: steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. As we continue our Lenten journey to resurrection, may we all move from anxiety to peace, knowing that the God who holds us loves us so much that God won't allow anything, even death, to come between us. Will you pray with me? God, thank you for the message that you give us in your word and in nature, that while we are worried, we don't have to be, that we can rely on you and each other and be filled with peace. Help us to turn our worries over to you, God. Help us look for the good in each other, in creation. Help us look out for each other and help us to rely on you to guide us when we worry, to fill us with the peace that passes all understanding that you have promised to us. In your name we pray. Amen.